దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతోచయాముదీరయే నష్టపాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. హరే కృష్ణ. సో రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10th chapter 69, Narada visits Krishna's palaces. Text 27. Mantrayantam cha kasmimschen mantribhis శోద్ధవాదిభిః జలక్రీడారతం క్వాపి వారముఖ్యా బలావృతం మంత్రయంతం చ కస్మిశ్చిన్ మంత్రిభిశ్చోద్ధవాదిభిః జలక్రీడారతం క్వాపి వారముఖ్యాబలావృతం మంత్రయంతం చ కస్మిశ్చిన్ మంత్రిభిశ్చోద్ధవాదిభిః జలక్రీడారతం క్వాపి వారముఖ్యాబలావృతం మంత్రయంతం చ కస్మిశ్చిన్ మంత్రిభిశ్చోద్ధవాదిభిః జలక్రీడారతం క్వాపి వారముఖ్యాబలావృతం వర్డ్ బై వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ మంత్రయంతం కన్సల్టింగ్ చ అండ్ కస్మింశ్చిత్ సంవేర్ మంత్రిభి విత్ అడ్వైజర్స్ చ అండ్ ఉద్ధవ ఆదిభి ఉద్ధవ్ అండ్ అదర్స్ జల వాటరీ క్రీడా ఇన్ స్పోర్ట్స్ రతం ఎంగేజ్ క్వాపి సంవేర్ వారముఖ్య బై రాయల్ డాన్సింగ్ గర్ల్స్ అబలా అండ్ అదర్ ఉమెన్ Vrittam accompanied translation and purport. Translation: somewhere he was consulting with royal ministers like Uddhava, and somewhere else he was enjoying in water surrounded by many society girls and other young women. Purport: this translation is based on Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Lord Krishna met with his counselors around dusk and enjoyed water sports in the afternoon. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupascha Krupa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna.
First of all, I would like to welcome Navin Nirath Prabhu. Of course, I wanted him to speak, but whatever service, I should follow. So in these verses, we can see that Lord Krishna's various activities in different palaces. In fact, it was the inquisitiveness of Narada Muni who was very curious to understand what is happening in these different palaces, because earlier chapters we had seen that Lord Krishna, he killed Narakasur or Bhaumasur, and he rescued 16,100 princesses. They were made captive by this demon Narakasur, and we had seen that it was so difficult for those princesses, and he had created that city Pragjyotishpur, which was very difficult to conquer because it was surrounded by some kind of electrical fencing, unallowed gaseous vayu and very toxic kind of gas substance was there,
and then surrounded by the water canals, and around that also military soldiers, there were guarding continuously. So it was almost impossible for those princesses to come out of such situation. And such kind of situation is hellish, or it was some kind of prison. They were imprisoned, and we can see that prison is considered to be next to hell. Sometime before, Krishna Prabhu was also giving the description of various types of prisons in America. It's so difficult. Somebody is kept there, it's very difficult to come out of it. And there are different levels of prisons. Some may be ordinary prisons. Those who have committed simple crimes are put in simple prisons. But some are supermax prisons. It's very tight security, almost one person in that prison. And they are not allowed to talk with anybody. They just get some maybe 20, 30 minutes or 1 hour to come out of that and do their other activities. They can't talk with anybody. Nothing is there actually. It's very impersonal kind of treatment they get. And usually people become crazy. And they want to commit suicide in such cases. So, Narakasura, his name is also very appropriate. Narak means hellish situation. This demon had created such kind of hellish situation for these princesses. So therefore, it was very difficult for them. And our acharyas, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, explains that kaivalyam narakayate, becoming liberated from this mortal world and becoming one with the Supreme Lord, or getting a position in Brahma Jyoti, where one becomes like a spark in the sky, where one goes there and there is nothing. I mean, you can't talk with other people. We have to just be there alone. There is no reciprocation with anybody. That kind of situation, our acharyas explain, is that kaivalyam narakayate. Kaivalya. Sometimes people are fascinated. They feel that we want to become liberated, because this mortal world itself is a very miserable place. This mortal world is also another kind of prison, which doesn't have any bars. Nobody is seemed to be controlling anybody. But everyone is controlled by the three modes of mortal nature. And nobody can escape from that. And even one may feel that he is liberated, he can do anything. And people may commit so many sinful activities in the name of being liberated. They get punished ultimately by the laws of this mortal world. And sometimes it may be A-class prison, where there is lot of opulence is there, lot of lifespan, thousands of years somebody may live. And he can have so many wonderful sense gratification there. But still, it is temporary. somebody may be put in another level of prison where there is a lot of restriction. So whatever position one is there in this material world is temporal. It is not eternal. And it is giving a lot of misery. Even one may think that Srila Prabhupada explains that what is our freedom in this material world? It is not complete freedom. It is, if it is not regulated, one will be punished. For example, a person becomes expert in driving a vehicle. He has got license. And he knows how to drive. He is very expert. But if he doesn't follow the rules of the traffic, he'll be punished. In India especially, one should drive on the left. In America, maybe on the right. And somebody may think that I am a very expert driver. I have the license. And I can drive anywhere. I can do anything. So as soon as one is, I need not follow the rules of the signal. As soon as there is a red light, one has to stop. So if somebody thinks that I am a liberated person and he tries to exercise his freedom in his own way, he'll be punished. So therefore, whatever freedom is there in this material world, if it is not regulated, one will not be able to achieve happiness. But still, we can see that there is urge to become free, to become liberated. And some type of philosophers, they proclaim that this whole material world is definitely dukkhalyam ashashvatam. It is a place of misery. And there is a higher place where there is no misery. To become free from this material world. To become one with God. That is another kind of freedom. One may feel that yes, there is happiness. And there are so many philosophies, especially in India, you can see that there are so many philosophies and people are so faithfully following that, thinking that if we follow this, we will achieve the ultimate freedom or ultimate liberation. But one who has achieved the higher taste, one who understands that still there is something higher. It is not that just by becoming liberated from this material world, one can become happy. If there are no activities on the spiritual platform, one will again fall down in this material world. And we can see that this kind of knowledge Srila Prabhupada has given in his books. Without reading these books, one will not be able to understand what is the ultimate goal of life. So therefore, it is so important to understand this philosophy. And here, from these stories, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the premise that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then only this kind of stories will become relevant. Or one will be able to understand these stories in a proper perspective. There are so many misconceptions about Lord Krishna in India especially. One may consider, one may think that these are ordinary household activities. One may definitely may mistake that these are ordinary household activities of a great king. Lord Krishna was also like a ordinary person. and he married so many princesses. And one may commit mistake of understanding the supremacy of the Lord. So therefore, it is very, very important to understand the very basics. That Srimad Bhagavatam has begun with that premise that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we accept this fact, then only these stories become relevant. Otherwise, one may think that we can also imitate such activities and one can make a big blunder in his life. And especially now this Pitru Paksha is going on, and after that what happens? Navratri, where people try to imitate the activities of the Lord, Rasleela dance, and that is a big mistake. And therefore it is very, very appropriate to study these stories of Lord Krishna to understand that yes, Lord Krishna's activities are not to be imitated, they are to be followed. Then only one will be able to go on the higher levels. One can go more deeper in the spirituality. And here we can see that Lord Krishna, he first of all constructed this city in the middle of the ocean. It didn't take years and years. We had to do a small project. We had to do so much of landscaping, architecture, engineering, so much study one has to do to create a small building, and in which maybe hundreds and few hundred people may stay. But here we can see that Lord Krishna had constructed this city, Dwarka city, overnight. And 900,000 palaces. Baladev Prabhu was explaining very nicely the glory of this city, Dwarka city, that how so many thousands of palaces were there. And these palaces were not just ordinary. The best of the marbles, best of the jewels, emeralds, sapphires, they were used in that. And there were nice peacocks, birds chirping. There were nice lakes, trees surrounding the roads. There was always shadow on the roads. It was not there was sunshine. People had difficulty in walking on the roads. Very, very comfortable. And not only materially the city was opulent, but even people staying there, they did not have any kind of anxiety. Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is a place where there is no anxiety. Sometimes we may see different parts of the world, they may have very nice clean cities. Everything is so immaculately clean, spick and span. But there is always anxiety, because people living there are in anxiety. Isn't it? Because it is not easy, because ultimately they are all in the material world. And the whole material world is the place of Kuntha, place of anxiety. So whatever type of perfection we may achieve in this material world, it is always creating anxiety. Even the greatest people or the wealthiest people in cities they may be living, it is not that they are free from anxiety, because the more the wealth you accumulate,
there is a greater amount of anxiety because the competition is so severe. Business, we can see that even one person, business person, he has to maintain his status quo, whatever status in the society, in his family circle or social circle, he has to really struggle hard. It is not easy. And the moment he stops, there are other people ready to take over. They are ready to disturb his business. And then he won't be anywhere actually. If he is not fighting for that competition, he will not be able to stand. So even just to maintain one family or to have that kind of social circle around business people, there is so much of struggle. But here we can see that for Lord Krishna there was not such struggle actually. Because he is not an ordinary person. He is a supreme personality of Godhead. And whatever he desires, it is going to happen. He is Abhigya Swara. He is supreme autocrat. Nobody is equal to him or nobody is above him. So that is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And this kind of opulence he exhibited in the city of Dwarka. And Narad Muni was definitely curious to see what is happening in these palaces. And Lord Krishna, playing the role of a householder, he is exhibiting everything so properly. When Narad Muni, he came to different palaces, at the first he saw that Lord Krishna is sitting with Rukmini Devi. And Rukmini Devi, although there were so many maid servants in the palace, still she was fanning the Lord with charmer. She was personally serving the Supreme Lord. And when, as soon as Narad Muni came, Lord gets up from the seat and calls him and makes him sit and washes his feet. He's doing all that kind of services. He's very hospitable. Lord Krishna knows how to serve the Brahmanas, how to receive the Brahmanas. So in that way, Lord is exhibiting the ideal behavior of a householder. And Brahmanas, he is respectful to the Brahmanas. Namo Brahmana Devaya. That Lord is worshipped by the qualified Brahmanas. And as soon as he sees that such Brahmanas are visiting, he is not delegating that service to somebody, that okay, I have a kind of department and they will look after, I don't have to worry. But he is personally coming and receiving Brahmanas. So that is very, very important to note actually. And Narad Muni, after receiving very well by the Supreme Lord, he goes to the another palace. And there he sees that Lord is again welcoming him. Again receiving. It is not that Lord is tired. Okay, I received in one palace and now something else. No, everywhere he is getting similar kind of treatment. And this is all happening under the potency of Yoga Maya. Lord Krishna's internal potency. And it is not kind of Lord Krishna had expanded himself and all Krishnas were doing the same activities.
it was not kind of some kind of siddhi or the mystic potency. Sometimes some yogis may exhibit such kind of siddhis, but they have to do the same activities at all, every places. But Lord Krishna was able to perform different activities in different palaces. And Narad Muni was able to witness that. Somewhere Lord Krishna was playing with his children. Just like a father takes care of his children. Similarly, Lord Krishna was taking care of his children. Some place he saw that Lord Krishna is playing chess with other queens and Uddhava. So it may appear that it is an ordinary activity, is playing chess, just like people like to play chess. So Lord was performing different activities in different palaces. Somewhere he was performing sacrifices, receiving brahmanas, so many activities he was performing. And yesterday also must have been discussed, Shobhavilas Prabhu must have discussed, that he was riding on the horses and elephants in the noon time. I just came from farm yesterday, GV. And we have a few horses. And there are a lot of restrictions for brahmacharis. No elephants as of now. Our Kumar Gauram Prabhu is trying. Let us see how much successful he becomes. But it is not easy. Maintaining an elephant is not easy thing. Even maintaining horses is not easy. So, Lord can maintain. It is not a big deal for him. Hundreds and thousands of elephants and horses and so huge. So here we can see that Lord Krishna is consulting with royal ministers like Uddhava. And this activity is happening at the time of dusk, almost at the evening time. So we can see that another facet of Lord Krishna's personality in this verse, that he is taking counseling from ministers and his dear friend and brother Uddhava. The role of Uddhava is very, very special. Earlier also we can see that Lord Krishna chose Uddhava to give the message to gopis. He sent him to Vrindavan, and very confidentially wrote some kind of letter and sent that through Uddhava, because he understood that Uddhava is a very confidential friend. And of course there was a dual reason. He wanted to take that message, give that message to him, to the gopis, and he sent Uddhava. And another was to show to Uddhava that there is still higher level of devotion, because his devotion was mixed with some kind of jnana or knowledge. He had that tremendous knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he sent him to gopis, who were very simple cowherd girls of Vrindavan. They were not so highly scholarly. They did not have that kind of understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything belongs to him, and all three modes of material nature act under him. They did not have that kind of understanding. They were definitely great devotees of Lord Krishna. And they simply loved Lord Krishna. There was no other kind of knowledge mixed with their devotion. Jnani Mishra Bhakti or Karma Mishra Bhakti. It was pure unalloyed devotion. And that is a superior level of devotion. And Lord Krishna wanted him to realize that there is something higher in devotion. Sometimes we may become proud of our lot of rituals. I'm expert in performing certain rituals, and that is a kind of form of devotion one may exhibit. I'm so pakka devotee. Everything is I'm doing so properly. Or sometimes there is knowledge-based devotion, lot of understanding of Lord Krishna through scriptures. So many different scriptures one may read and try to prove that yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is another level of devotion that one has surpassed all these stages and gone to still higher level. It should not be misunderstood with the activities performed by the sahajiyas. Because sometimes they also may exhibit such kind of activities or ecstasies, and people may think that this is a higher level of devotion. But Gopi's level of devotion was on a very, very high level. So Krishna had recognized that. And Krishna wanted Uddhava to realize that. So therefore he had chosen Uddhava to go to Vrindavan. Now we may think that how Krishna is taking counseling from Uddhava and in what subject matter. That incident will come in the future, in the next few chapters, where King Yudhishthir is going to perform Rajasuya Yajna, Rajasuya sacrifice. The purpose of sacrifice was to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to please the demigods, and even pleasing the demigods, to show that Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of all these sacrifices and he is the controller of all the demigods. And everything is happening under him, and Krishna is equal to everyone. So the purpose of sacrifice which Yudhishthir Maharaj is going to perform in the future, Rajasuya sacrifice, was that to show that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he sends different areas, his four brothers, they go in different directions. And it was not the purpose to subjugate the other kings, but to take the taxes. And somebody gives the taxes, he accepts the sovereignty of the king, the other king. And it was in the benefit of all the other kings. And if somebody doesn't accept, then there could be fight. So different brothers were sent in different directions. And they see that king of Magad, Jarasandha, he was not ready to pay the taxes. And Uddhava had understood that situation, that such situation is going to arise, because Jarasandha, who was the father-in-law of Kansa, when Kansa was killed, he was very angry and he wanted to kill Krishna and Balaram. And we can see that in earlier chapters how he tried to attack Krishna and Balaram. He surrounded the city with so many Akshani soldiers, something 24 Akshani soldiers. He came almost like he attacked 17 times. And every time Lord Krishna defeated Jarasandha, Balaram, and they all kill all the soldiers and they left him alone. So many times he was defeated and he was sent back. And again he would gather all the soldiers and come. At the 18th time, when there was some other reason for Lord Krishna, he runs away from the battlefield. And it appears to Jarasandha that Lord Krishna has run away from the battlefield. And he feels that he has conquered. Lord Krishna and Balaram, they climb that hill, Pravarshan. And Jarasandha, he can't find them, both of them. So he thinks to put the hill on fire. He puts the entire hill, that mountain, on fire, thinking that he would be able to kill both Krishna and Balaram. And of course, both of them, they jump from that mountain and they escape. And Jarasandha is still under the illusion that both Krishna and Balaram were killed in that fire. Now, when Jarasandha is still existing in Magad, and he was very charitable to the Brahmanas, Uddhava, he knew that this kind of situation will arise, that he will not be giving the taxes to perform this Rajasuya sacrifice. So that time he had given that, he had informed Lord Krishna how to kill Jarasandha. That kind of information he had already given. So that was the intelligence of Uddhava, that he was very expert in such kind of strategies, how to kill, or how to see that the proper religion is established, the right kind of people are there in the power. Otherwise, when the wrong people come in the power, they make the lives of ordinary people very, very miserable. And that is definitely another subject matter. Different types of people, there are different types of systems of government. And we can see that in today's age, it is not of any, not any particular system can exist peacefully. Whatever people may try to rule and control, that system doesn't work. Some countries there was some kind of communism. All people are equal, everyone shares the resources equally, and it is some kind of classless society they kind of create. And we can see that even that kind of system is not, cannot exist. There are revolutions. Then some places there may be dictatorship, and one person may rule the entire nation. He may create so many policies and rules and everyone has to follow. There is no question of rebelling against him and people are very uncomfortable. So that kind of system also, we can see that doesn't work, because people have their own choices. They need freedom. And when they don't get freedom, then there is a revolution. Even democracy also. It may appear that it is working, but still we can see that even democracy cannot work. Because what is democracy is people, the leader is selected by the people, for the people and by the people. And Srila Prabhupada makes it, he goes to the very fundamental point, that what is that actually? It is a power of votes. That whoever gets the more number of votes gets elected. It is not based on the intelligence. Everyone is given the same voting power. It is even the ordinary person, he may be illiterate, and even the very intellectual person, IAS officer also, it is all ultimately a number game. If somebody gets more numbers, then he gets elected. And what are these numbers? These numbers is nothing but the power of individual people. If individual decides to change his decision, he decides that no, I don't want one person, I want another person, then another person will be elected. So that kind of system also doesn't work actually. So therefore we have seen so many countries, there have been revolution and they want leaders to change actually, because they are fed up with leaders. Even in US also we saw that some years before there were different leadership and they wanted the change. And then another leader has come. Even in Egypt also there was one leader who was ruling for more than 30 years. And he was ruling and people were suffering. So many problems in the society, they were not solved. And after that also we can see that when he is in 80s, still is ruling, and there have been revolutions and he was removed. So we can see that to rule the society, one needs a very very spiritual minded person who doesn't have material interest, whose interest is to serve the society. If the leader is not thinking for the welfare of the people, if he is not having that kind of service attitude, then that kind of leadership cannot work. So here we can see that Lord Krishna, he wanted to establish Yudhishthir Maharaj as the ideal king, because the whole purpose of his descent was to establish the principles of religion. If there are no religious principles in the society, then there will be tremendous chaos. And in today's society, what is happening? That it is almost the religion is thrown. And there is so much struggle to establish the religion. So much struggle. And it becomes easy for people to convince that you are all equal, you have rights, and in that way religion goes in the corner. So therefore without proper religion there cannot be peace and prosperity in the society. And of course there is another danger in becoming the fanatic religionist also, that because even in the name of religion there have been so much of disturbance in the society, because sometimes the religion becomes a fanatism. If you don't follow my religion, then I will kill you, kind of situation. And religion takes the form of terrorism, simply terrorism, that if you don't follow, then we will cut your throat or behead you, kind of situation. So therefore, what is the real purpose of religion. That has to be understood more deeply. It is not the external. Externally, somebody may be born in a particular kind of religion, but if somebody doesn't go to the deep and does not follow that religion properly, there could be fanatism. So therefore, in today's society, sometimes we may feel that we have to establish religion and bring people in the power. But the real root cause of the problem is still different. And here from Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we can go to the root and we can understand that the root cause of problem is not religion. It is the real enemy is the six anarthas. So therefore, if people are harboring envy against each other, then even in this, people may be having the same kind of religion, but still there may be differences of opinion and fights. So therefore, that kind of, one has to go to the root of the problem. And root of the problems is arising, is there because of these anarthas. Envy, lust, greed, anger, pride. These are the, this is the root cause. So therefore, Krishna consciousness tries to bring everyone on the higher platform. It tries to bring one to that level when one does not envy towards others. One does not become greedy. One accepts whatever is necessary. And in that situation, one can live peacefully. So therefore, it is here we can see that Lord Krishna is taking counseling from so many ministers and his brother Uddhava, and it gives another example that although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not acting independently. He can dictate the terms, but still to show an example that how it is important to take counseling from other brahmanas, other ministers, so that everyone is happy. Hare Krishna. So of course we will read more things in the next verses. Anybody has any comments or questions? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.